heart and soul to glorify. I offer nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ.
Oh, I give it all,
and I give you all, give you all of my worship.
Let your offering to God fill this place. Come on. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, God. We thank you, God. We worship you in this place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're going to, as we sing our final song, it's called Gratitude. And how many of you are grateful to the Lord? You got any reason to be grateful to the Lord? Fact that you're here today can be grateful to the Lord. Fact that you woke up this morning with breath in your lungs, you can be grateful to the Lord. Fact that you're healthy, you got a job, you got a family, you got a place to live, can be grateful to the Lord. What you can be most grateful to the Lord for is Jesus. Jesus is the greatest gift that God ever gave to the world. Jesus is what we should be most grateful for. So let's sing it today. Let's tell Him today. I love this song by Brandon Lake. Called Gratitude. It talks about, are we doing Gyra? I wasn't sure you were doing that. We're doing a new song today. Because I heard them rehearsing Gratitude this morning, didn't I? Did I imagine that? Was that playing in my car when I came over? That's what we're going to sing a new song today. It's called Gyra. And I believe it's Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Jireh is a name, one of the names of God. It means the Lord who provides. He's our provider. And I want to encourage you as we sing this final song, you know, if you need prayer this morning, we're going to pray for you. This is our prayer time. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come forward. You know, we are a church. We believe that God is still a miracle-working God. He's still in the miracle-working business. And when you come to church, let me tell you, the Bible, Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. This is the place to come and to pray and to call on the Lord and receive a miracle from God. Whatever it is, we've seen the Lord do miracles in people's bodies. We've seen God heal people, growths disappear, tumors disappear. Jerry just got a totally cancer-free report from the doctor. We've seen the Lord heal people from cancer. If you need healing in your body, let me tell you, Jesus is still the healer today. If you have a financial need, He's Jireh. He's the Lord God who meets all of our needs. So whatever it may be, I want you to know, when you come to Ascend Church, or when you bring someone to Ascend Church, we are here to pray with you. We are here to call on the Lord, because prayer changes things. Miracles happen when you pray. God answers when you pray. He said, call on me, I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things. Let me tell you, God wants to show you great and mighty things in your life. But here's the question. Are you calling on Him? Are you asking Him? Are you looking to Him? Because, you know, miracles happen when you ask God and when you believe Him and when you trust Him. Can you say amen? Amen. So if you need prayer, I want you to come forward this morning right here at the front. We're going to be here. We got our prayer partners. They're going to pray with you. We're going to believe God to meet every need in your life. And let's sing and worship God with this final song, Jireh. You are good, Lord.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Yeah, wasn't holding you up, yeah. So there's nothing I can do to let you down.
It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. 'Cause you are
Jireh. You are enough.
You are
Jireh. You are enough.
And
I will be content in every circumstance.
You are
Jireh. You are enough.
Forever enough.
Always enough.
You're more than enough. Come on, sing that with me.
Forever enough, always enough, more than enough.
And I'll never forget how I feel right now. On a mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about. So stay by my side till the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel right now. Jireh.
Jireh.
You are.
You are enough.
You are.
Jireh. You are enough.
So I will be
content.
Every circumstance. 'Cause you are.
Jireh. You are enough.
It's always enough.
We're always enough. More than enough.
Oh,
forever enough. You're always enough. You're more than enough.
I know I'm loved. I know I am chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved more than I can imagine. And that is enough. It's enough for me. Oh, I'm already loved.
I'm already chosen.
I know who I am.
I know who I am. That is enough. And that is enough. That is enough. That is enough. That is enough.
Cause you are enough.
Cause you are enough.
So I am.
So I am.
Forever enough, always enough, he's more than enough. Somebody say that.
Forever enough, always enough, he's more than enough.
Oh,
forever enough, always enough, he's more than enough.
That's my God, I serve.
Forever enough, always enough, he's more than enough.
What you're gonna say,
Jireh, you are enough.
When it seems too tough, that's what you're gonna say,
Jireh, you are enough.
When it all gets overwhelming, you're gonna say,
Jireh, you are enough.
When it's more than you can bear,
Jireh,
that's who you call.
You are enough.
Right there. If you hear nothing else today, you can know that he is more than enough, no matter what you're facing. Amen. Praise God. We're so glad to see you. Welcome to Ascend Church. It's going to be a good service this morning. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them, I'm glad to see you in church today, and you may be seated. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you to our amazing musicians and singers. Give them a great hand this morning. I know they don't do it for applause. They do it as worship, and I love that. Every one of them have got such a heart of worship. And welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you've joined us today. Thank you for being a part of our service. I was just chatting to a couple that are down here from Connecticut that are sitting there they are, and they were saying they came last year and came back this year. They come down to beautiful sunny Florida. Welcome. But you watch online when you're not here. So isn't that amazing? So if you're watching online, thank you for joining us today. You can be a part of the service. And we pray, just like we pray for everybody here, that you get exactly what it is that you need from the Word today, from the Lord today. Amen. God has a way of speaking to you. You know, you sit in church and everybody hears the same words, but God speaks to your heart, just what you need to hear, right? And so welcome. We welcome each and every one of you, especially want to welcome those who are visiting us for the first time. This is the friendliest church in all of the world. Come on. We've been in a few. Let me tell you, this is a friendly church, and we love having visitors. So if you're here for the first time, we don't embarrass you. We'd just like to hand you a visitor bag right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone here for the first time? God bless you. Come on. Don't make me out to be telling untruths here. Thank you. In there's a couple of things. One is a brochure telling you a little bit more about our church. There's a card that says guest in the seat in front of you. Take a moment, fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in, and we'd love to get in touch with you. Stay behind and say hi to us after the service. Just want to remind you, for those who are in our regular attendees, we pass a clipboard by during the service. Just do us a favor and check your name off there and put your name in, any changes you have to your phone or email. It really helps us pastor everybody if we know. Sometimes people are missing, and when Pastor Steve reaches out or I reach out, and they are very thankful that someone in their church cares enough to reach out to them when they're not here. So go ahead and fill that out. That really helps us. And if you're watching on Facebook, we're on Facebook Live. We're on YouTube, Ascend Church, Jupiter. You can go ahead and check in. Let us know where you're watching from. Comment on the message. And just make yourself comfortable and enjoy it. Go ahead and share. If you share our live stream, it always reaches more people. And it's going to tie in with what Pastor Steve is preaching today. And so that's one simple way that we can do it, is by sharing the live stream. You can watch on our app, or you can watch on our ascendchurch.us. And I just want to always remind us, what are the four main purposes of our church? The first one is to help us to know God. We're gonna find that out today. We're going to know Him. The Bible says that we would know Him in the power of His resurrection. We don't want to just know about God, but we want to know Him. Amen. Second of all, that you would find freedom. Thirdly, that you discover your purpose. And lastly, that you'd make a difference with your life. So that's the main purposes of our church. We're so glad you're here today. And I am looking forward to the Word of God. On to you, Pastor Steve. Let me just say, we had a fantastic time with the ladies on Friday night. It was so good. Show us some of those pictures. Do you have a couple of those pictures? We had a women's networking meeting right here, and we had the ladies come up, Anna Cartwright. We had different ladies come up and take 2 minutes and present their business, their ministry, and it was so good. For any of the ladies that missed, I'm so sorry you missed. Don't miss it next time. And I'll just mention that we have everybody that presented on Friday night, which was about 15 or 16 people, have business cards, have their websites, have what have you, and I asked them to leave them out on the counter for you. So go and take a look at what the wonderful women in our church do. This is Pam's one. She has a Esther conference coming up. She has that information over here, as well as a lot of other things. So go and check it out. Check out their website. See what people are doing. It's such a blessing to our church. Samantha's got amazing beauty products out there. I bought myself a whole big basket full of them. Going to enjoy them. So go and support the women in our church. That was great. Thank you, Pastor.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. We'll try that one more time. Good morning, everybody. There you go. It's good to see you. Tell your neighbor it's good to see you. Sam, I'm so glad you're here. Say, I'm glad I'm here. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad for all those who are watching us. I believe we are back on, are we on Facebook right now? We're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on our website. All right, praise the Lord. Just want to let you know that next Sunday, we are having water baptism right after the service. We have a whole bunch of people that are on our Christian Growth Seminar right now. We started it on Tuesday night. And just by way, just to let you know that you can still join us this Tuesday. You've missed the first week, but you can still join us on Tuesday. This Tuesday, I'm talking about how to pray and receive whatever you need from God. I'm also talking about how to receive the power of God in your life. That's Tuesday night at the Christian Growth Seminar. And if you haven't done it, I really encourage you to be here. Tuesday night's going to be a great night. And so we got a lot of people from the Christian Growth Seminar going to get baptized. So next Sunday, right after service, we have water baptism. And I believe that, Bill, I heard someone told me that you had just decided that you're going to get baptized. And Bill is 91. 92. Excuse me. Bill is 92. You won't be the oldest person I baptized, but it'll be close. I think the oldest person I baptized was 94. And but you're number two. But I'm so glad that you're getting baptized on Sunday. And you know, the scripture says, go into all the world, make disciples, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is really, it's an announcement to the world. It's saying that I have buried my past life, that I am a new creation, that I've been born again, that I'm a child of God. As I come up out of that water baptism, just like Jesus died and was buried and after with our sins, and after 3 days he rose from the dead, when you get baptized, symbolically, you're buried with Christ. You bury your past. You come up out of that water to live a brand new life with God, by God's power. And so if you were baptized when you were a baby, like me, that doesn't count. You actually weren't baptized. Because there's nowhere in the scripture they ever baptized babies. There's no point. There's no purpose. There's no function. The scripture says you have to repent and then be baptized. See, babies can't repent. They've got nothing to repent from. So baptism is something that you do once you have chosen to follow the Lord. You've repented. You've turned from your past life and you've said, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. That's when you're now ready to get baptized. So if you got baptized when you were a baby, you didn't get baptized. If you need to get baptized now that you're a believer. And so we're going to have a pool set up outside in the parking lot. We'll come right out of the service next Sunday. It's an exciting time, and we are going to baptize people. How many of you have been baptized in water since you received Christ in your life? Wave your hand at me. Wonderful. Well, if you have not yet been baptized, we don't do this very often, a few times a year. You don't want to miss this. I've asked the ushers, they have this little card, says baptism on it. If you would please fill this card out, then we need to know. We're going to have a baptism certificate ready for you next week. We need to know how many people to expect. So if you would like to get baptized next Sunday, hold your hand up high right now, and Jennifer is going to get one of those cards to you. Hold it up high. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Yeah, hold it up. That's great. At the back, Gwen, on the side. It's good to see you, Wendy. Where are you? It's good to see you, Wendy. It's great to see Jonathan. Wave at me, Jonathan. We were here on, when was it, Jonathan? When were we here at the church? It was Tuesday night at the Christian Growth Seminar. And after the class, Jonathan came in. And he said he lives across the street and he's seen our church many times. And he's here this morning. We welcome you. We're so glad you're here today, Jonathan. Amen. Are you ready for God's word this morning? Yes. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you are so good. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your mercy toward us. We thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that your word will go forth in every heart and that it'll find a resting place. I pray that we will not just be hearers of your word, but we will be doers of your word. I pray, Lord, that every person, we would be stirred on the inside, that we would have a passion and we would have a burden for lost people, that we would go after lost people, that we would fulfill the commission, the commandment that you've given to us. I thank you, Lord, Ascend Church is a soul-winning church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, we are a church full of people who are out going after the harvest, winning souls, reaching out, bringing people into your kingdom. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for everything that will be said and done today. We give you all of the praise and all of the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to speak about go after the lost. Go after the lost. You know, this is very important to God. This is really, this is the Father's heart, is going after lost people. In fact, after, you can move on, Natalie, after Jesus' resurrection, do they have the scriptures loaded on the LED screen that I gave, the extra scriptures? They're not on the teleprompter. So now, after Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he appeared to more than 500 people, and he appeared to the disciples. And it's interesting to me that in every gospel, including the book of Acts, they record Jesus' last words, and they really say this the same kind of thing. You know, to understand the full gospel, you've got to read all four gospels, because Matthew wrote it, you know, what the Lord, the Holy Spirit inspired him to say and what he saw, and Mark wrote what he saw, and all they all saw the same thing, but they have different perspectives. And so when you read all four Gospels, you see how important this is to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 19, it says, go. Tell your neighbor, go. Go and do what? Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. Now, give me the other scripture up there in Mark, please. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, you are to go, say go, into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. And then in Luke, this is how Luke said it. Luke 24, 47, you must go into all the nations and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins so they will turn to me. And then this is what John said in John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Remember, Jesus said that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And Jesus said, the same way the Father gave me a mission, I'm giving you a mission. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. In other words, Jesus came for lost people, and he has sent us to go after lost people as well. Can you say amen, somebody? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses of telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is very important to Jesus. He spoke about it in every gospel they record. This is Jesus' final words. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus. A disciple is one who accepts and assists in spreading the message of Jesus. And by the way, I got that definition from the dictionary, Webster, the Webster's dictionary. I got that definition from, that's where I got it from. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. I believe one reason that so many people in the church are not making disciples is because they're not really a disciple themselves. The reason why they're not making disciples is because they're not a disciple themselves. And very often it's because of what they've been taught. They've been taught incorrectly. The church is, you know, somebody We've told people all you got to do is pray this prayer. Jesus, I believe you died for me. You rose from the dead. Praise God, now I'm saved. That prayer is actually not in the Bible. The sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. Now we do that. We tell people Romans 10 verse 9, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you confess him as Lord, then you will be saved. But you see, that's the starting point. The Bible never says accept Jesus in your heart or invite Christ in your life. It says repent and follow Jesus. That's what it says. A disciple is someone who's following Jesus, not someone who just believes in him, but they are following him. They are living for him. Let me tell you, there are millions of Christians who, you know, they think they're Christians, but they're not really following Jesus because they don't do what Jesus wants. They do what they want to do. They go to church when they want to go to church. They pray when they feel like it. They talk about Jesus maybe sometimes. That's not really following him. Jesus told us, go and make disciples. It's time to go. It's go time. Tell your neighbor, it's go time. I Googled the phrase go time. And this is what it, when you say it's go time, it actually means it's time to get serious about doing something. It's time to do something. Go time means when the time has arrived to undertake a difficult task that requires courage, at which point there's no going back. It's go time. Amen. Look what Paul said to the church about the church in Rome. He didn't really know this church. He didn't really have anything to do with planning the church in Rome. But he says in Romans 1 verse 8, he says, let me first say that I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. The whole world is talking about your faith in Jesus. I mean, think about that. This is the first century. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have cars. They didn't have television. They didn't have radio. They didn't have the internet, yet they impacted the world. The whole world's talking about your faith in Jesus. So I've got to ask a question. As 21st century believers, what has happened? What has happened to us? What has happened to the church today? What's going on with the church, particularly in the Western part of the world? We are all but irrelevant to the culture. I've got to ask this question as a pastor. Is the Holy Spirit not powerful anymore? Is God not able to open the eyes of blind people? Is God not able to raise the dead anymore? Did Jesus lose his power? Is this just a first century thing that God was able to smash pagan cultures and literally turn the world upside down? That's what it says in Acts 17, verse 1. Paul and Silas arrived at Thessalonica, and as they customarily did, they went to the synagogue to speak to the Jews from the Torah. And it says for 3 weeks, Paul challenged them by explaining the truth and proving to them the reality of the gospel, that the Messiah had to suffer and die, then rise again from among the dead. He made it clear to them, saying, I came to announce to you that Jesus is the anointed one. He's the Messiah. And some of the Jews were convinced that the message was true. And they joined Paul and Silas, along with quite a few prominent women and a large number of Greeks who worshiped God. But many of the Jews were motivated by bitter jealousy, and they formed a large mob out of the troublemakers, unsavory characters, and street gangs to incite a riot. They set out to attack Jason's house, for he welcomed the apostles into his home. The mob was after Paul and Silas, and they sought to take them by force and bring them out to the people. When they couldn't find them, they took Jason instead, along with some of the brothers in his house church, and they dragged them before the city council. And along the way, they screamed out, these troublemakers who have turned the world upside down have now come to our city. They were mad because these Paul and Silas were preaching about Jesus, and multitudes of people were coming to the Lord. They said, these troublemakers who turned the world upside down. Are you telling me they turned the world upside down then, but we can't do it now? Is the gospel no longer relevant? Was it relevant then, but it's not relevant now? I mean, what's happened to us as a church that we can say in the first century, when they had no electricity, no cars, no internet, that the gospel is proclaimed throughout the whole world. Everybody's talking about you and your faith, and you turn the world upside down. Let me tell you, they had the same gospel we have, the same God we have, the same power, the same Savior who heals the sick and raises the dead. What's happened to the church today in our culture? Let me tell you, the church is growing fastest today in the most persecuted parts of the world. That's where it's growing the fastest. America's not even on the map when it comes to church growth. America's not even in the top 10. Most churches in the U.S. grow by transplants. That means people leave other churches and they come and join your church. Most big churches, that's how they get big, because people leave other churches and come and join their church. What has happened to us? Is it the gospel? Has it lost its power and its relevance? No, I don't believe so. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and appointed to spread the good news of God. You see, it's God's good news. It's good news from the Creator of heaven and earth. It's God's good news that we're called to proclaim. Paul went on and he said in verse 2, God had already promised this good news through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This good news is about his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his human nature, he was a descendant of David. In his spiritual, holy nature, he was declared the Son of God. This was shown in a powerful way when he came back to life. He was the Son of God. Through him, we have received God's kindness and the privilege of being apostles who bring people from every nation to the obedience that is associated with faith. This is for the honor of his name. You are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, the good news is not a suggestion to the world. The good news is not good advice. It's not asking Jesus, you know, give him a try. Try Jesus. No, we have something that is compelling, something that the world doesn't have. Our kids today are being taught in school about evolution, that they're descendants from fish. They're just stardust bing banging on the surface of the cosmos in a universe that's ungoverned, that doesn't care. And all above us, there's just sky. There's no justice ahead of us. We live, we die, we're gone. We're absolutely gone when we die. That's what the world is telling your kids today, that the universe is just time and chance acting on matter. Nothing governing anything. There's no personal order. There's no responsibility. But we have a story, the true story of the true and living God who created and sustains everything. Jesus, who carries along the universe to its intended destination. God has a plan of history. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, it's God's story in history. It's his story. And Jesus comes to the earth planned just like right on time to do what? Jesus comes to reconcile people to God. That is the story. That's his story of the good news. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 18, it says, God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. Say, I have a ministry. Say, I've been called to reconcile, to bring others to God. In other words, it was through Christ, the Anointed One, that God was reconciling the world, not keeping records of their transgressions. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. Amen. We are ambassadors. Say, I'm an ambassador of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world. Say, I'm an ambassador, and I carry the message of Jesus to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. Amen. Dimini, is there anyone out there in the lobby? All right. We are his ambassadors. And we carry his message. What is that message? Jesus didn't come just to make our life better. Jesus didn't come just to give a drink of water to somebody. Jesus didn't come just for social justice. No, That's a result of the gospel. But Jesus came to reconcile people to God. And when Jesus came into his ministry, he said in Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached about repentance. The Passion Bible says Jesus began to proclaim his message with these words, keep turning away from your sin and come back to God, for heaven's kingdom realm is now accessible. Do you know what repentance is? It's turning from your sin and it's turning to God. That's really what it is. In Luke 13, verse 5, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all eternally perish. Unless you repent, you will perish. In Mark 6, verse 12, it says, the disciples went out and they were telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. Everywhere they went, they were telling people, repent of their sins and turn unto God. The message of the gospel always came with a call to repentance and faith, not try Jesus. Why don't you give Jesus a try? No, Jesus bids us to come and die and receive new life. And I like to think the gospel is still good news. I like to think God is still mighty to save. I like to think God still raises the dead. I want to ask the question, if we are losing at this point in history, what is wrong? Is it God or is it us? We've got to seriously ask that question. When you read the book of Acts, man, you will see the confident, bold gospel being proclaimed in every place possible. It was always with a call to repentance and faith. It was such a clear message that there was accusations made against Christians. Where are the accusations against them? It says in Acts 5:28, we gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name, but instead you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him. We told you not to preach anymore, talk anymore about Jesus, but instead you did just the opposite. You filled all Jerusalem with this man's teaching. I've got to ask the question, is that happening in Jupiter? Is that happening in West Palm Beach? Is that happening in Stewart? Is that happening in Port St. Lucie? Do people surrounding our church challenge us as Christians and say, you're filling up this whole city with that teaching about Jesus? Everywhere we go, we're hearing about Jesus. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, as soon as he comes to Christ, after persecuting the church, he tried to destroy the church. We know he's guilty of killing at least one Christian, throwing others in jail. That was Stephen. When Stephen was martyred in Acts 6, Paul was right there. His name was Saul. He used to be Saul. His name changed to Paul. But as soon as he receives Jesus, he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him, knocked him right off his high horse. As soon as he turns to Christ, it says this, as soon as Paul receives Christ in Acts 9:20, it says immediately, say immediately. Immediately, what did he do? He began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying he indeed is the Son of God. The Message Bible says he went right to work, wasting no time, preaching in the meeting places that this Jesus was the Son of God. When Paul, his name was Saul, when he receives Christ, immediately he begins preaching the gospel. In Acts 9:21, it says, all who heard him, they were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation amongst Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? Didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Paul is bold, man. Paul is confident to proclaim the gospel. What's the result of his bold preaching of the gospel? It comes into the culture, sacrifices everything for the sake of love of the other person. The Bible says, you know what happened? Verse 23, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him. Paul's preaching about Jesus, and they plot, we're going to kill him. See, the church today, we're afraid to offend anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. The church today is more worried about offending people than letting them go to hell. What about the part of the gospel proclamation that goes right in the face of the culture, proclaiming the gospel, risking everything? Some people think, well, that's too confrontational. Some people have told me you should make friends with someone for about 10 years. And maybe if you get a chance, then you can tell them about Jesus after 10 years of building a friendship. I say, well, man, people try to kill Paul when he preached the gospel. No one's tried to kill me yet, so maybe I'm doing something wrong. You look in the book of Acts, man, you see the bold proclamation of the story of the gospel, which is what? That we are sinners against a holy and a limitlessly powerful God. He is love. He is justice. He is good. And here's the story. God is good and I'm not. God is righteous and I am not. That's the story of the gospel. It always comes with a reminder of sin. In Romans 3 verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. It goes on in Romans 3, 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The gospel story is that God is good and holy and we are sinners. God became a man and came to the earth in order to redeem us by suffering and dying without sin. Jesus came as a Messiah to redeem us sinners unto God. It's about our sin against a holy God. That's the story. We were dead in our trespass and sin. The gospel message is we were sinners, but God sent His Son, Jesus, to redeem us. Jesus left heaven, and Jesus came to this earth. He perfectly obeyed the law of God in the place of sinners. He died for sinners. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again, and He has ascended back unto the Father God. And Romans 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And here's the message. The call is repent and believe the gospel. Turn from sin and trust in this Savior, this Messiah. The call to turn from sin and come and fall on Him. To abandon self-righteousness and come and embrace Jesus and hide yourself in Him. That's the message of the gospel. It didn't come in a way that could actually express to someone, this is something you just try out. That's not how they proclaim the gospel. Maybe that's where we failed. The gospel message was always the same. Repent and believe. Follow Jesus. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The Passion Bible says, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. For I'm thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved. I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of the good news of the gospel, that everyone who believes will be saved. I refuse to be ashamed of that.